Hello and welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the entire specification, inheritance, variation, and evolution. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final pre-exam run-through, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam room feeling confident. We'll cover the core concepts clearly, work through exam technique, flag the most common mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. This topic is all about how characteristics are passed from parents to offspring, how variation arises within a species, and how populations change over time through the process of evolution. It connects directly to your understanding of cells and DNA from earlier in the course, and it links forward to topics like ecology and disease. Examiners love this topic because it allows them to test both factual recall and your ability to apply knowledge to unfamiliar contexts. You'll see questions worth anywhere from 1 mark right up to 6 marks, so you need to be comfortable at every level. Right, let's get into the core concepts. First up, DNA structure. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid, and it is the molecule that carries the genetic instructions for all living organisms. DNA is a polymer, that means it's made of repeating units, and those units are called nucleotides. Each nucleotide has 3 components, a deoxyribose sugar, a phosphate group, and 1 of 4 nitrogenous bases. The 4 bases are adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. Here's the key rule you absolutely must know. The bases pair up in a specific, complementary way. Adenine always pairs with thymine, and cytosine always pairs with guanine. A handy way to remember this is the phrase, apples and trees, cars and garages. A pairs with T, C pairs with G. The 2 strands of DNA are twisted together into a shape called a double helix, held together by hydrogen bonds between the base pairs. Now, why does the sequence of bases matter? Because every 3 bases, called a triplet or codon, codes for a specific amino acid. Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. So the sequence of bases in your DNA ultimately determines which proteins your cells make, and proteins control almost everything that happens in your body. This is the link between genotype and phenotype, which we'll come back to in a moment. Moving on to protein synthesis. This is a 2-stage process. Stage 1 is called transcription. In transcription, the DNA double helix unzips in the nucleus, and a complementary strand of messenger RNA, mRNA, is built using 1 strand of the DNA as a template. The mRNA then leaves the nucleus and travels to a ribosome in the cytoplasm. Stage 2 is called translation. At the ribosome, the mRNA is read 3 bases at a time, and each triplet codon is matched to a specific amino acid. The amino acids are joined together in sequence to form a polypeptide chain, which folds up to become a functional protein. A common exam mistake here is to say that DNA leaves the nucleus. It doesn't. DNA stays in the nucleus, it's the mRNA that travels out. Remember, the message goes out, not the original. Now let's talk about inheritance. Your genome is the complete set of genetic information in an organism. It's found in the nucleus of almost every cell in your body, packaged into chromosomes. Humans have 46 chromosomes, arranged in 23 pairs. 1 chromosome in each pair came from your mother and 1 from your father. Each chromosome carries many genes, and each gene is a section of DNA that codes for a particular protein or characteristic. Here's where the vocabulary gets really important, and examiners will penalize you for using terms loosely. An allele is a version of a gene. For example, the gene for eye color might have a brown allele and a blue allele. If you have 2 identical alleles for a gene, say 2 brown alleles, you are homozygous for that gene. If you have 2 different alleles, 1 brown and 1 blue, you are heterozygous. The genotype is the combination of alleles you actually have. The phenotype is the physical characteristic that results, what you can actually see or measure. The key distinction, genotype is what's in your DNA, phenotype is what shows up in your body. Now, some alleles are dominant and some are recessive. A dominant allele is always expressed in the phenotype, even if only 1 copy is present. We represent dominant alleles with a capital letter. A recessive allele is only expressed when 2 copies are present, that is, when the individual is homozygous, recessive. We represent recessive alleles with a lowercase letter. This brings us to Punnett squares, which are a tool for predicting the outcomes of genetic crosses. Let's say we're crossing two heterozygous parents for a trait. Let's use cystic fibrosis as an example. Cystic fibrosis is caused by a recessive allele, which we'll call lowercase f. The dominant allele, uppercase F, gives normal lung function. Each parent has the genotype FF. To draw the Punnett square, you put the alleles of one parent along the top, F and F, and the alleles of the other parent down the side, F and F. Then you fill in the four boxes. You get FF, 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 and FF. That gives you a 3-to-1 ratio of unaffected to affected offspring. 3 out of 4 children are expected to be unaffected, either FF or FF, and 1 out of 4 is expected to have cystic fibrosis, FF. Crucially, the two FF individuals are carriers. They don't have the disease, but they carry the recessive allele and could pass it on to their own children. Now let's move on to variation and evolution. Variation is the differences that exist between individuals of the same species. Variation can be caused by genetic factors, differences in the DNA sequence, or by environmental factors, things like diet, exercise, or exposure to sunlight. Some characteristics are influenced by both. Height, for example, is partly genetic, but also affected by nutrition. Mutations are changes to the DNA sequence. They can occur spontaneously during DNA replication, or they can be caused by mutagens such as UV radiation or certain chemicals. Most mutations have no effect on the phenotype, some are harmful, and very rarely a mutation can be beneficial. This brings us to natural selection, which is the mechanism by which evolution occurs. Charles Darwin proposed this theory in 1859, and it remains one of the most powerful ideas in all of science. Here's how it works. Within any population, there is variation. Individuals differ from one another. Some of this variation is heritable. It can be passed on to offspring. In any environment, there's competition for resources, food, water, mates, territory. Individuals with characteristics that make them better adapted to their environment are more likely to survive and reproduce. Because they survive longer and reproduce more, they pass on their advantageous alleles to more offspring. Over many generations, the frequency of those advantageous alleles increases in the population. The population changes. It evolves. A brilliant real-world example of natural selection in action is antibiotic resistance in bacteria. Bacteria reproduce very rapidly, and mutations occur randomly. If a mutation happens to make a bacterium resistant to an antibiotic, that bacterium will survive when others are killed by the drug. It then reproduces, passing on the resistance allele. Over time, the population of bacteria becomes dominated by resistant individuals. This is why it's so important not to overuse antibiotics. Every time we use them unnecessarily, we create selection pressure that drives the evolution of resistance. Evidence for evolution comes from multiple sources. The fossil record shows us how organisms have changed over geological time. Fossils form when organisms are buried in sediment, and the hard parts, bones, shells, are gradually replaced by minerals. The fossil record is incomplete because soft-bodied organisms rarely fossilize, and many fossils have been destroyed by geological processes. But the fossils we do have show a clear pattern of change over time. We also have evidence from comparative anatomy. The similarities in the bone structures of different vertebrates suggest they share a common ancestor. In molecular evidence, the similarities in DNA sequences between species provides powerful confirmation of evolutionary relationships. Now let's talk about selective breeding and genetic engineering. Selective breeding is a process that humans have used for thousands of years to produce organisms with desirable characteristics. The process involves selecting individuals with the desired trait, crossing them, selecting the best offspring, and repeating over many generations. Examples include breeding cows for higher milk yield, wheat for disease resistance, and dogs for specific temperaments. The key difference between selective breeding and natural selection is that in selective breeding, humans choose which individuals reproduce. The selection pressure is artificial, not environmental. Genetic engineering is a more modern and direct technique. It involves modifying the genome of an organism by inserting, deleting, or altering specific genes. The basic steps are: identify the gene you want, cut it out of the donor organism's DNA using restriction enzymes, insert it into the target organism's DNA using a vector, often a plasmid or a virus, and allow the target organism to express the new gene. A famous example is the production of human insulin by genetically modified bacteria. The human insulin gene is inserted into bacterial plasmids. The bacteria are cultured in large fermenters, and they produce human insulin, which is then purified and used to treat diabetes. Genetic engineering raises important ethical questions. Is it safe? Who controls the technology? What are the long-term ecological consequences of releasing GM organisms into the environment? Examiners frequently ask you to evaluate these issues, so make sure you can present arguments on both sides. Now let's focus on exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. For a 1 or 2 mark question using the command words state or give, you need a brief, precise, factual answer. Don't write paragraphs, just give the fact. For example, state the base that pairs with adenine. Answer, thymine. That's it. 1 mark. For describe questions, you need to say what happens or what something looks like. Use correct scientific terminology. Don't explain why, just describe. For explain questions, and these are the ones worth the most, marks, you must say how or why. The golden rule is to use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, if asked to explain how a mutation could lead to a change in phenotype, you might write, a mutation changes the sequence of bases in the DNA. This changes the sequence of codons in the mRNA. Because the codons are different, different amino acids are assembled at the ribosome. This changes the sequence of amino acids in the protein, which changes the shape of the protein, which means it may no longer function correctly. This could change the phenotype of the organism. For evaluate questions, you must consider both sides and make a judgment. Don't just list advantages. You must also address disadvantages and then reach a conclusion. The most common mistakes I see in this topic are confusing genotype and phenotype. Remember, genotype is the alleles. Phenotype is what you see. Forgetting that mutations are random. Never say mutations happen because the organism needs them. Confusing natural selection with selective breeding. In natural selection, the environment does the selecting and making errors in Punnett squares by not showing the parental gametes clearly before filling in the grid. Right, time for your quickfire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What are the 3 components of a DNA nucleotide? Pause if you need to think. The answer is a deoxyribose sugar, a phosphate group, and a nitrogenous base. Question 2, which base pairs with cytosine? Pause. The answer is guanine. Question 3, what is the difference between homozygous and heterozygous? Pause. Homozygous means having 2 identical alleles for a gene. Heterozygous means having 2 different alleles. Question 4, in a monohybrid cross between 2 heterozygous parents, what is the expected phenotype ratio in the offspring? Pause. The answer is 3-1. 3 showing the dominant phenotype to 1 showing the recessive phenotype. Question 5. Name 2 pieces of evidence for evolution. Pause. Acceptable answers include the fossil record, comparative anatomy, molecular evidence such as DNA similarities, and antibiotic resistance in bacteria. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with the key things to take away from this episode. 1, DNA is a double helix polymer made of nucleotides, each containing a sugar, phosphate, and base. Complementary base pairing is AT and CG. 2, every 3 bases, a triplet, codes for 1 amino acid. This is how the genetic code works. 3, genotype is the alleles you have, phenotype is the characteristic you show. Dominant alleles are always expressed. Recessive alleles are only expressed when homozygous. 4, Punnett squares predict the probability of offspring genotypes and phenotypes. Practice drawing them clearly and always show the parental gametes. 5, natural selection drives evolution. Variation, competition, survival of the best adapted, inheritance of advantageous alleles, repeat over generations. 6, evidence for evolution includes the fossil record, comparative anatomy, and molecular evidence. 7, genetic engineering and selective breeding both modify the characteristics of organisms, but by very different mechanisms, and both have ethical implications you must be able to discuss. That's everything for today's episode. You've covered a huge amount of ground: DNA structure, protein synthesis, inheritance patterns, natural selection, and genetic engineering. Keep practicing those Punnett squares, make sure your definitions are precise, and remember, in explain questions, always link cause to effect with because. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.